Nej!
Good morning, campers!
Good morning.
Your final message from the Australians. We've got a lovely, lovely glass of Australian milk this morning. And we're gonna make this alligator drink. Now this thing nearly killed me this morning. So, bottoms up, pal.
Rock on, dude.
Good evening, everybody. Now, don't worry if you're as confused by that video as we were the entire week of camp whenever the Aussies arrived. Warm welcome to the Seven, which this week is being taken over by Camp Ignite. We've had an absolutely amazing week, fueled by the sunshine, lots of fun, lots of activities, amazing time learning more about Jesus. And we're just going to try and give you a bit of a flavour this evening of what we've been doing, the fun stuff we've got up to. We're going to hear from some of the leaders, hear from some of the campers, but we're going to kick off with some worship. So I'm going to hand over to Ben and the band.
Yeah, so all the songs tonight, we're going to be singing songs from camp. So if you're willing and able, please do stand and join with us. Next one, that are actions for the camp favorite. If you're slightly older, once you spin one way, spin back the other way, just so you don't get dizzy.
In my wrestling
take seats.
Fabulous. So that was just a little sneak peek into all of the fun, amazing things that we did this week. But if you were on Camp Ignite this week, in whatever position that may be, camper, leader, around to help, please can you come up to the stage? I thought no one was going to move then for a minute. Fantastic, fantastic. Right, in that video, you will have seen at one point we were running around with giant flags. Now, if you're, apologies to those up in the balcony, you might have to look at them afterwards. But if you're downstairs, if you do a little 180, you'll see the amazing flags that the tribes created. So we had different tents on camp, but we put our tents together to make big tribes, which came about in all sorts of ways. Competitions, earning points for chants, which you heard beach tribes chant in that video. It was a lot of fun, and the kids got really stuck in, and it was great to see the competition coming out. But Hugo, I'm going to come to you first. What was your favourite part of camp?
Going to Rutland Waters.
Okay, tell us a bit about it. What was it over there?
The inflatables.
Did you manage to jump off the highest one?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Christabel, what was your favourite part of camp?
Nerf Wars.
Oh, Nerf Wars. Can you give a little explanation for those that don't know what a Nerf War is?
You shoot people.
Okay, should have caveat that with, don't worry, it's okay, they're foam bullets and it's all safe. Where's Katie Trafford? I've lost her. Oh, what are you hiding for? Come. Katie, what's your favourite part of camp?
Talent show.
Oh, okay. Funniest act?
Byron's.
Byron. Okay, Timmy. Yeah. Now, you obviously were not here as a camper. You were here as a leader. What was the best part of camp for you?
The Aussies. But also, yeah, just having chats with these guys during downtime, getting to know them was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a fantastic week. And the sun was shining on us all week, which was amazing, which meant we could be outside all the time, which just gave so much time to just be around each other, have fun together, get into those conversations, and have a great week. But Jazz, what was your favourite part of the week?
I really enjoyed seeing kids form new friendships. There was a lot of really lovely moments on the last day where kids were chatting to people they hadn't known at the start. And the talent show, you just can't beat that evening. It was really good.
Fabulous. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, there was a competition throughout the week of all the three tribes. Which tribe won?
Oh, guys.
That was terrible. Okay, there was competition throughout the week, and it looked like Mountain were going to come dead last by quite a lot. But we pulled it back at the end, and Mountain Tribe did win. But well done to everyone, because you did work super hard over that week. Thank you for coming up. You can head back to your seats now. You.
Me now?
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Well, it was such a good week of camp. One of my highlights was seeing two of our new leaders, Jed and Harvey, try to run Capture the Flag. It was just chaos. Utter chaos. If you know them, it's exactly as you imagine it, okay? At one point, I don't know how this happened, they started blasting out Winston Churchill as they're tackling each other. And it was weirdly motivating. But no, they were brilliant. They did such a good job. But there's so many people to thank for camp, you know. Our leaders who gave up lots of their time this past week to come on camp be with the kids, the youth, the teenagers, whatever you want to call them, all week long. They put so much time and effort into them. It was fantastic. Our cooks as well. There's so many people who are involved behind the scenes, cleaning up after us, which is not something you'd want to do. There's things with logistics and admin, and there's loads of people to thank. So can we just do a massive round of applause, please, for all these people who've got involved with camp this year. It's brilliant. I do just want to give one special mention as well, as it was Emily's last year of camp. I know, and she has done it for a long time. She's been involved in the leadership for Yonks, many, many years. And I really, trust me when I say it, I couldn't have done it without her this year. She's been brilliant. She really helped run the whole week with me, and it was fantastic. All her mind works differently to mine, and I'm very grateful. Okay, so she's absolutely brilliant. And she is going off to Egypt, as many of you know, to work with Interserve in an international school out there. And she'll be dearly missed by us. But I just want to give a massive thanks to all of Emily's hard work over the years on camp. So just one more, please. Woo! Great. Well, how about I just pray and then I'll hand over to the band to lead us in another song. Thank you, Father, for the amazing week we've had of camp this past week. Lord, I pray you'd help us know you more. I pray the memories we made would last. I pray we learned about you. It would stay with us throughout all our lives. Please would you bless us as we see more of your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, if you're willing and able, please do stand.
Well, have you ever seen this man before? No? I hadn't seen him until yesterday, so I'd be surprised if you'd seen him before. This man, and I'm going to butcher his name now. Is this on? Is it all right? Have I turned it off? Okay, brilliant. I might butcher his name. His name is Jose Mariana Catolos, okay? This guy owns a bunch of land in Colombia, all right? it's like a nice plantation or something. He was given a grant from the Colombian government to build a palm oil plantation on his land. Nice, right? All right, get a grant. Be a weird thing to talk about, except you'll soon find out why. He is digging in one of his fields. And he's digging away for hours and days. One day, he's digging a trench to lay a load of pipeline, okay, for this plantation. And he soon realizes he's dug up several blue barrels, okay? And he looks inside one of these blue barrels. It is full to the brim with cash. Unbelievable, right? And then the rest of the barrels, each one in kind, filled to the brim with cash. Jose, all in all, had uncovered $600 million. Now, just put yourself in his shoes for a minute. Look, here you are. That's a bit of cash there. Some gold was there as well. Just chocks and chocks of cash. Put yourself in his shoes for a minute, okay? How would you feel? I think you would go through a series of emotions. At first, you would be in utter bewilderment, as you probably wouldn't know how to process your emotions. You'd think, is this a dream? This is not real. What is happening? And then it slowly turned into more of a shock that you can process, maybe your hands on the head. But then you'd probably start to dance a little bit. And you'd probably just start dancing around your field. Honestly, you'd be jumping for joy. Why? You've uncovered an unbelievable amount of treasure. Could you believe it? Well, this guy had uncovered an unbelievable amount of money. What he had uncovered is part of Pablo Escobar's fortune. When he was put in prison, he hid it all over North and South America. He'd put it in Jose's field, some of it. And he'd uncovered it. And oh, can you believe it? He did not expect to find that treasure at all. And look, that is exactly what we've been talking about all this week. Not Pablo Escobar's treasure, you'll be glad to know, okay? But what we've been talking about is a treasure which is available to everyone. It's not the treasure you'd expect, and it's not in the place you'd expect to find it. We've been talking about a treasure which is far better than anything else in this world. It's better than money, mansions, fast cars, you know, career, grades, achievement, whatever kind of stuff you can think of. It's far better. It outweighs them all. This treasure is Jesus. And I know what you're thinking right this second. You're thinking, ah, this church guy. No, Jake, you've got it wrong. This is not the treasure that I want. But oh, when you dig up, when you find the treasure of Jesus, when you go through the emotions and it sinks in and you see who he is, what he's done, what this means for your life, it becomes the greatest treasure you could ever possibly have in your life, in this world. And oh, it makes you, like probably it does with Jose when he found that 600 mil, it makes you want to celebrate, doesn't it? Those of us in the room who know Jesus, doesn't it make you want to celebrate? It makes you want to worship when you really get and grasp, take in this treasure, when you take it to be yours. Oh, it's like nothing else in this world. It is far better. And look, this treasure is available to everyone. This guy, Paul, he lived in the... I don't know if he looked like this. I like this picture. You can probably guess why. I think he's got a brilliant, brilliant style, honestly. You should all follow Paul's direction. Who knows what he looked like? He lived over 2,000 years ago. He lived in the first century, same time as Jesus. Now, he did not see Jesus as a treasure. He hated Jesus, couldn't stand him, and he hated people who loved Jesus all the more. In fact, Paul made his life's mission to go around and round up people who said they loved Jesus, follow Jesus, and he put them in prison, or worse, he'd have them killed. He couldn't stand him. But look, later on in the Bible, please understand this transformation. Later on in the Bible, we read this. This blows my mind. Read this with me. This is Paul writing, the same guy. He said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What has happened, Paul? What is going on? You hated Jesus. And now he's saying, Jesus surpasses everything. There's nothing greater in this world, Paul is saying. What's happened? Paul had dug up this treasure. It had sank in to be true. He'd taken it and realized the true value of Jesus, who he is, all that he'd done for Paul. And we get a glimpse, of this sinking in to Paul's life. I love what he writes in another. This man went on to write about half of the New Testament, okay? Prolific. He loved Jesus. He went on to write this. And you see a glimpse of this treasure sinking into Paul's heart and life. I love this. He said, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." Get this. "Who loved me and gave himself for me." He's talking about Jesus. And you see the treasure of Jesus sank into Paul's life. It became the true value to him, became everything. Notice what he says. He says, "Son of God." Paul used to think he was a heretic. Paul used to think this guy is off his mind. He's claiming to be God. He can't be. Now he's changed. I wonder if there are any of us in the room tonight who would probably have been in Paul's shoes. You once thought Jesus was a heretic. You once thought he was a load of rubbish and nonsense, just another somebody in history. But now you've come to believe he's actually who he claimed to be. He's God in the flesh. I wonder if there's anyone in the room tonight who thinks that. Maybe for some campers. That changed this week. You started to understand. You started to see the treasure of Jesus. You got who he finally was. And it changes everything. Changes everything. And we see that in Paul's life. He said, "This man who loved me and gave himself for me." Notice this. Paul hated Jesus. Jesus loved Paul. And he gave himself. This is Fred Pepperman. This is an amazing man who also gave himself for others. He was taking his family to have a beach day in 2019. And he realized his girls had been swept out into the ocean by a riptide. Three of them. And immediately he dove in, like a father does. He dove in to rescue them. And he pulled them one by one back to the shore. An amazing feat. But sadly, as he pulled the third one back, the exhaustion became too much. And he couldn't carry on. He gave himself for his children to live. Look, when Paul says, "Christ gave himself for me," that is what we mean by gave. He gave everything, his own life for you, not just for Paul, for you and me. He gave it all. As we see this, one of the greatest pictures in the world, in the Bible, is the cross. Why is the cross such an amazing picture? That is where Jesus, the God of the universe, gave himself for you and me. Look, the Bible says we were, like those girls in a riptide, stuck in the current of this world, stuck in the mess, in the sin, in the brokenness of everything going on. I know I don't always live rightly in my life. You can ask anyone I know. I mess up. I make mistakes. And we can think, it's fine. It's just a little silly mistake. It's a mess. Sometimes that can get too much in us and we realize, but other times we just don't get it. The Bible says, look, we're too far gone. See, for us to be with God, we need to be perfect because that is how good he is and none of us can be there. Even if there's just one step wrong, then all of it is ruined and we can't be with God forever. In fact, it's worse. The Bible says, if we've messed up in one place, we stand condemned. It says, when you stand before the judge of the earth, what's he going to say? Is there even one bit wrong in your life? There isn't mine. It's not good enough for God. So we're all in the same boat. We're all stuck, swept out. What do? We don't stand a chance. Oh, but God in his great love for you. This is why this is such good treasure. This is why it's called the good news of Christianity. Because when we were stuck and could not get out, God in his great love for you dove in and he gave himself. Jesus came into this world, God in the flesh. He was who he said he was. He lived the perfect life. And he went to die on the cross. And on the cross, he was taking that condemnation. He was taking the penalty, the punishment we should have taken. So if we look to him, oh, and we ask it of him, we can be forgiven. And we can stand before God, a forgiven life. And we can live with him forever. This is the treasure of Jesus. He comes into our life. He makes us brand new. And we can live with him right now through all of eternity. This is what Paul means when he says, he gave himself for me. He dove in and took us out. You see, Jesus became everything to Paul when Paul realized Jesus had given everything for him. And look, I hope you get this tonight. There is nothing more that God could do for you. He's given everything. He's given his own life. So if you look to him and trust in him, you're forgiven and free forever. And we can be with him for all eternity. My question to you tonight is, what will you do with this treasure upon hearing it? Will you bury it back into the ground tonight? Oh, no, look, this is just for older people. This is just for good Christian boys and girls. Will you bury it back down, smooth it over, and forget you ever heard anything tonight? Or will you, like Jose, will you take it? This treasure is there for the taking. It's in your life waiting to be taken. What will you do? Will you bury it or treasure it? Let me finish with how Paul ends his statement, okay? He says this. He goes on to say, look, he said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake, get this, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Look, I want to be really honest with you tonight. This is the greatest treasure your life can ever know. It's better than anything else. But let me tell you this, it's not easy. It's not plain sailing. It's not easy breezy, like, you know, there's always sunshine on you and rainbows. We had a lot of sunshine this week at camp, didn't we? We did. Nod your head, yeah. We had a lot of sunshine. Believe me when I say we've had a ton of rain in the past. A ton. Okay? It's not as if I become a Christian and all of life is well again. All of life is good. No, no. Paul's clear. He's lost. He's lost certain things. See, Paul had a lot going for him. He had respect. He was at the top of his social status as a Jew. He had love from his peers. He was going around. He had Roman soldiers that would help him when he became a Christian. When he said yes to following Jesus and he told others, he lost all of it. People started to dislike him, ignore him, marginalize him, push him away. He eventually lost his life. There's a cost to the treasure. We heard that from Emily, actually, on Thursday night. It's not easy breezy. Oh, but notice what Paul says. He says, it is totally, utterly worth it. It's so worth it. No matter the cost we find in this life, Jesus is far better. It's as if, you know, you put Jesus on a scale, and if you put him on one side, you know, weighing the goodness of what this thing is, and you put all the stuff of this world on the other, Jesus would never budge. The scales would never tilt even one bit. Jesus is far outweighs anything else in this world. Oh, look, you guys this week on camp have had a little bubble of heaven. You have a little taster. Because on camp, we're saying Jesus is brilliant. We're encouraging you to love him, understand him, worship him. And we're welcoming all views. No one's being mocked or laughed at or ridiculed. But that's camp. That's for a week. We're back in the real world now. And look, maybe you've felt it already. It's harder, isn't it? It's harder. Maybe it's harder for you at home. Maybe it's harder for you at school when we go back. I don't know. We can be dismissed. We can be pushed aside. But Jesus is always, always worth it. It's far, far better. It's the greatest treasure you can have than anything else in this world. Paul lost it all. And look, you won't lose as much as Paul did. I don't think you will. We're in a different time. But it's not easy. But let me encourage you, keep going. Everything you learned on camp is true. He's the greatest treasure that all of us can have. It far outweighs anything else. This man, I love this quote. You have to indulge me a little bit. He's quite an old guy. He's been dead for a long time. C.T. Studd. He was a famous cricketer, okay? And he, upon finding the treasure of Jesus, took it for himself, and he decided, I'm giving up my sport. No, you don't have to do that. But he did. And he went to China to tell people about this treasure, to tell people about Jesus. And you're thinking, C.T. Studd, you gave up all that? The fame, the money? He had a lot of money. He gave it up. Why? Because he said Jesus is better. He said this. Listen to his logic, okay? And then after this, I'm done. If Jesus Christ is God, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then there is no sacrifice that can be too great for me to make for him. Please get this. If this is true, oh, if this is true, if Jesus really is God, if God really knows your name, and loves you so much that he'd give his own life to have you? Oh, come on. There's nothing too great that we can go through for him, right? He's the God who started the cosmos, and yet he's given everything because he loves you that much. It's the greatest treasure. And this treasure starts now in this life and stretches on through all eternity. Life with Jesus forever. The riches of knowing him far outlast anything. This, believe me, is the treasure your life longs for. It's not in the place you'd expect to find it, but it's there. Maybe you're thinking, how do I take this treasure? You're saying, Jake, take it. You know, how do I take in Jesus? You take in Jesus by trusting him. Say, I believe you are actually God, and I believe you died for me on that cross. And you ask for forgiveness. And you say, I'm following your way now, Jesus. And you follow him. That's how you take it in. Will you bury it? Or will you take it? He loves you so much. He's given up everything for you. Will you know him? Let me pray. And the band will come up and lead us in a couple more songs. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're real. Thank you that all of this is true. You're the greatest treasure in this world. Please, would you help us to take this in, to look into this more? Would this treasure sink into our hearts and minds? Would we trust you, perhaps for the first time? Thank you that you love us and you gave everything for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I've known you as a friend. Do take your seats, everybody. Great. Well, that is officially the end to our Camp Ignite this year. That was rubbish. It's the end of Camp Ignite this year. That's better. It's sad, but we'll be back next year. It's going to be good. But if you can't wait till next year, we have a few things we run every single week in this building for you. If you are in the school years of 7 to 9, you can come to Ignite here. It's Mondays. And I believe it is at 7:30. Is that correct, Ignite leaders? 7 o'clock. You won't forget it now. That was purposely a tactic that I just did there. It's at 7 o'clock in this room every Monday. It'll be starting back in September. Come along to that. We have games. We'll have little talks. There'll be discussion groups. It is great. A little mini camp every week. If you are moving on to year 10, there's something else. There is nightlife. There's nightlife. Yeah, nice, nice. There is nightlife on Fridays, starting back September. That is 7:45 till 10 p.m. Every single Friday. And again, there's games, there is worship, there is talks, there is discussing, helping each other through little bits of camp every single week. It doesn't get better than that, does it? So if you can't wait till next year, come along. Join us in September when we restart those groups. But that is all for tonight. I'm going to finish and pray in just a minute, but there are more refreshments out back. There'll be teas and coffees, everything. Do hang about and grab another one. We'd love to see you. But let me pray as we finish. Thank you, God, for an amazing year of camp. Thank you for all the fun, all the games, all the questions and discussions. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died in our place so we could have the greatest treasure, life forever in heaven with you. Thank you that you love us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.